on 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, beginning on verse 8 to 12. Lord, open our eyes that we might see the wondrous truths out of thy law, and grant us the grace, Lord, to apply them and take heed of them in our daily lives. Lord, hide me behind the cross of our Lord Jesus, and may we hear you speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verses 8 to 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion of one of another. Love us, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or seek it and pursue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is the reading of God's word, dearly beloved. Now, you will notice there in verse 8, the word finally. This is appropriate at this moment to be mentioned by the writer, the Apostle Peter, because it marks the conclusion of the section on submission of the wife to the husband, and exhorting also the husband to honor his wife, because she is a weak vessel. She must be treated with love and respect and honor and with understanding, so that she is not only a precious soul, but she is also a partaker of divine inheritance, which is salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this submission or relationship of husband and wife, or wife being in submission to the husband, they are in these earlier verses of this chapter. And Peter sums up much of what he has been saying while supplementing these exhortations, five exhortations, in verse 8, with a call to unity and mutual concern for one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. That is unity and mutual concern or love for one another. Christians must treat one another this way in all cases. There is no exception. You must treat with a united effort to love one another and of one mind, having compassion one of another. In other words, we must be compassionate with one another. Love as brethren. In other words, loving one another despite our different culture and weaknesses. Be pitiful. Be courteous. So we need to apply this exhortation to ourselves. And we are exhorted in this way, for especially in this time of persecution, at this point in time, in writing this letter by Peter to the church in Jerusalem. They are in persecution. So they need to be united in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, defending their faith, loving one another, treating one another with the love of Christ, expressing our concern towards one another. And this unity and mutual concern achieves adequately the witness of a good behavior to the world that is watching outside the church. When we behave in loving one another, united with our faith and the love of Christ in our hearts, then it shows who we are. They see the Christ in our hearts. When Christians, however, fight one another or dislike one another at some point of some trials, they weaken their war against evil. In other words, we cannot be a very effective witness if there is a division, or if there is some kind of a misunderstanding that is not being resolved. One has said that an army which is divided against itself will lose the war. We must be all united to win the world for Christ by showing the love of Christ in our hearts. They must be one in mind, one in heart and mind, in love, in showing this love for one another and to the outside world by presenting Christ's love, his saving grace and knowledge to those who are yet to be saved. So five exhortations comprise Peter's words to Christians, all of us, regarding their relationship with one another. In verse 8, let's look at back at verse 8, it says, be of one mind. Finally, be ye all of one mind. What does this mean? Well, this is a positive way of saying, don't quarrel. Don't be divisive in your attitude, preferring those only who are favoring us or loving us and hating those who hate us. No, we should not quarrel even though they persecute us or they do all sorts of gossip about our person. Unity comes, as Philippians chapter 2 demonstrates, when believers, like their Lord, put others first, others, brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church. When we put their interests first and focus their concern on the welfare of others, which is in verse 1 and 3, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to put your husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So that, and verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning. In other words, not just the outward beauty, but adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on an apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that he is not corruptible, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That should be the contents of the beauty inside, not just adorning our the women or the wives with the outer beauty, although that's good, there's nothing wrong in adorning, but what is incorruptible, what is God glorifying, is a heart that is gentle and sweet, which is the sweet spirit in Christ. That is the beauty that should adorn the wives. And this is something that is positive, that we should do, even those wives who are not Christians, or wives whose husbands are not Christians as well, we should actually show love to them and honor them so that they will be won silently if we behave properly and love them with the love of Christ. Okay? That's why the four exhortations that follow in the same verse emphasize the loving giving of oneself to his brothers or her brothers. Compassionate. In verse 8, finally, be of all one mind and having compassion one of another. So what is compassionate means? It's literally be sympathetic. The sympathy or compassion, however, is not merely an attitude, but rather it is an attitude that issues in loving action. You see, it's not just an attitude that we must pray, but it should issue in action. It's like a conversation when an husband say, "I love you," to the wife. He said, "If you love me, show it in action." That's true, isn't it? Don't just say it in words. We are commanded as well as Christians to show our love in action. So this compassionate, sympathetic attitude, it denotes sharing the experiences of another. In other words, we should bear one another's burden. If a Christian never enters into another's circumstances, in other words, if we don't sympathize with how they go through in their lives, we will never appreciate or understand others' joy or success or problems and heartaches, the experience. The compassionate Christian cannot help but weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. That should be our attitude. It's not just something that we say in words, but we should be there when they need us. We should be not only praying for them, but we must ask God to help us to go there and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Visit those whose loved ones has passed away. You don't have to say a lot of words. Your presence there means a lot to them, that you are there to share their sadness, their sorrows. But God, praise God if we can say the right words, the appropriate words. But sometimes it's better not to say anything, but to be there is an expression that you are concerned with them, that your love is the love of Christ that overflows your presence. Sometimes a lot of people talk in the funeral, but silence without words means a lot. Being there means a lot. And to just listen out to how they go through. And perhaps you can pray. That is the best counsel you can do, is to pray with the brothers who are in sorrow. And then, not only be of one mind or unity of one of mind, but and compassionate or sympathetic, but let us be full of brotherly love. In verse 8, love as breath, love as brethren, brotherly or sisterly love. The word full of love is not in the original, but is supplied to give the sense of the meaning of the word, brotherly love. Of course, a brotherly love mixed with the agape love of God, agapeo. There are three kinds of love in the Bible. The fleshly love, the phileo love, love in the family, or parental love, and the eros, which is confined in marriage. And the only love that is different and genuine is the love, agape, love of God. So this is the brotherly love that should be in our hearts, the love of Christ. For more on love, you can look back in chapter 1, verse 22. And continue to explore that in chapter 1, verse 22 of 1 Peter. It says, seeing you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth to the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love, which means there is no limitation to this love. It is a love, it is the agape love that overflows your relationship with your brothers and sisters, so that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. You cannot have that kind of love. You cannot mix eros and phileo love with the love or agape love of God in Christ. Only the pure love of God, which is agape, is the love that can conquer all hearts. And there, it's not only brotherly love, compassionate, sympathetic, or being one in mind. We are also exhorted to be tender-hearted. Look at verse 8. It says, I was in chapter 1. It says, in verse 8, be pitiful. Pitiful, that means that it's not just you pity him, but you are tender-hearted, you are kind-hearted because of the love of Christ that's in you, that's in us. The word tender-hearted the word that is be pitiful, the word, it denotes a warm and tender attitude. Warm and tender attitude. Sometimes we don't see this warm and tender attitude. It is sometimes cold. More often than not, it's cold. Can you imagine husband and wife spending 10 years of their lives not knowing yet together because of lack of tender and warm love towards each other? It's only as we truly give our all to our loved one, especially the love of Christ, that relationship stays together and it stays forever as well, regardless of the difference in culture and environment in which we grew. It speaks of rich emotions. Emotions that erupts through tender, loving care of the love of Christ in us. In the midst of trial and suffering that we experience as brothers and sisters, as God allows our trials and suffering or tribulations in one word, it is easy sometimes to become self-centered. In other words, we only tend to be minding our own business. Nursing one's own wounds. If you are observant, sometimes people in a big housing flats, big building. Only few people know each other, isn't it? Do you observe that? It's because someone are not willing to humble themselves and to share their concern to other people. Can you imagine? Sometimes people don't know each other. On their neighbor, I was visiting one time, and because I was given a name to visit. I knock on one door. Do you know this person? Oh, I haven't talked to this person yet. And it's just speak that people in one community, in a building, they, even neighbors, sometimes they're not in good terms. And how much more important that the love of Christ among brethren should actually be shown. Our concern for one another, our sorrows, our needs must be shared by our brethren in the Lord, remembering us each other in prayer, stirring up each other's in faith, not nursing our own wounds. When the wounds of others in sorrow and difficulty, that person is waiting, that brother and sister is waiting to have someone to talk to listen to, that they are appreciated, that they are being remembered. Someone is sharing their difficulties in life. In fact, one become callous or without feeling, without even recognizing it, to that kind of point when we mind our own business, so preoccupied with our own things, we tend to forget each other because we are so preoccupied with a lot of things, bits and pieces of our lives. Can you imagine? If that happens in neighborhood without knowing your neighbor, sometimes it happens as well in a church. We just sit there without even shaking their hands. How strange, isn't it? But of course, we should initiate this tender-heartedness, this brotherly love, this compassionate, sympathetic concern, and being of one mind in unity because of the love of Christ. We must initiate it. If you are looking for a friend, be a friend to one another. Be a friend to others who need a friend. Let us just show it to be approached by somebody. If no one sit to a new visitor in the church, sit with her. Initiate by shaking the hands, with a joyful heart, with a smile of love of Christ. So the Christian may not do minding their own business, or maybe he will not do with full knowledge. But if we are not gifted, or perhaps if we don't have that initiative in initiating a friendly conversation, a godly conversation, a holy conversation, or a godly concern, or godly love, let's ask God to help us. It is only when we ask God to help us, especially we have now the love of Christ, God will help us to cultivate that tender-heartedness, that loving care, and gentleness of spirit. This is done by taking interest in others, learning to be sensitive to their needs and emotional turmoil in life. I think this makes the difference. In our community, there are a lot of people who long to be listened to, who long to have that friend who is ready to listen to their struggles in life, their difficulties, their sorrows. And that's why people who are not rich by this kind of condition in their lives, they become worse. That's why we as a church, we are gifted by God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have that Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. God gives us these gifts. But if we are not exercising them, we can pray that the Lord will give us this tender-heartedness, this compassionate being one mind and brotherly love. So this can be accomplished by praying fervently for one another so that we'll be sensitive to each other's need. And then lastly, the exhortation of humble-mindedness, which is in verse 8. Be courteous. The humble person is not only one who refrains from boasting and bragging. He also rejoices. He or she also rejoices over the success of others and puts them forward rather than himself. Not to discourage them because of our negative reaction to their culture, to their values, which we don't value, or to their culture, which we do not share, but we must actually be enriched by each other's culture, each other's background. And it's only in sharing that culture and our background of others that the community is a beautiful world to live in. Isn't it? Can you imagine being isolated, you're just doing your own culture and eating your own food, but sharing the food of others? And sharing their concern, their emotional turmoil in life, their sorrows. Can you imagine if we are isolated that way? We all long, we were created to be partakers of each other's burden. There is a longing in one's heart to be loved and to be appreciated. And it's only through the love of Christ in the church that those needs can be met. So let us refrain from boasting and bragging because we are blessed by God with a lot of material goods, and others are not blessed. I'm really amazed how this country God has blessed. You know, the amount of food that is being destroyed and being just thrown away in the rubbish, worth $20 billion a year. If that can be sent to other countries, that could save a lot of lives. I don't know if you get these statistics, but I find that statistics, it is mind-boggling. Why waste food like that, worth $22 billion a year? And it's just wasted. But what about our love, our tender-heartedness, our compassion? Being united in our brotherly love and humility towards each other, that's worth more than $20 billion. The love of Christ cannot be bought in terms of financial expensive things. The love of Christ is worth more than these financial values. It stays forever. It can change lives from glory to glory. So that the mind, which is the attitude that was in Christ, Philippians chapter 2, on verse 9, let's see this chapter 3 of Philippians, of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. This verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. We are called to be a blessing You are called to receive a blessing and not just partakers of blessing, but we should be a blessing to others as well by sharing your blessing to others. That is what is mentioned here. This is the principle that we should not return evil for evil or railing for railing or hurting one another, but knowing that we are called to be blessed with the love of Christ, that we should inherit a blessing, the blessing of eternal life based on the love of Christ, the agape love of God in Christ Jesus. So the Christian response to evil doing is to continue doing good. Not to be different. Not to be enjoying one's culture only, but to appreciate other culture, which could enrich our lives. How much more the culture of Christian love, which can transform our relationship from glory to glory in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God should require this exhortation in suffering, it ought to come as no surprise to Christians. They are called to live this way, being of one mind, being compassionate or sympathetic, being full of brotherly love with the agape love of Christ, and tender-hearted to one another, and humble-mindedness towards one another. And Peter says, if his readers are a blessing to others, in other words, we are beneficiary of the word of God tonight, even those who persecute them, who persecute us, God will see to it that they too are blessed because we are allowing ourselves not just beneficiary of Christ or God's blessing or inheritance from Christ, but we allow that blessing to bless others as well. So the blessing that they inherit from Christ's rich inheritance has been taught by some to prepare eternal life. This is the great inheritance that we have. Okay? Because the love of Christ constrains us not, but to share this love to others. Right now, as Christians, can know happiness and joy even in persecution and suffering. Let's go to chapter 1 of the same book, 6 to 9. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. It says, wherein you are greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom, having not seen, you love. Even though we have not seen him personally, yet we love because he first loved us, no? In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's the encouragement that we must continue to bear one another's burden. Having shown the unity, the compassionate, tender-heartedness, and humble-mindedness, we must pursue love. That even when we are tried, when we see someone tried because we are encouraged. We were strengthened in our faith. We must strengthen that brother as well who is experiencing trial. We must share our strength to strengthen others as well. That is the beauty of these verses. That's why in chapter 3, Peter is exhorting us to be a blessing at present. There's no other time. You cannot share it yesterday. Yesterday is past. You must share it now when it is needed. Not tomorrow, but now. Sometimes we delay our love, we delay our concern, we delay our tenderheartedness later. But there is no such principle in the Bible. Do it now. Because today is the day that the Lord has given to us. We are called to live our lives one day at a time. Because tomorrow has not yet come. Today is the utmost time that God would like us to be a blessing to others. And finally, let's ask this question to ourselves. Are you living in peace and blessing at this moment? Do you foster it? In other words, do you initiate this peace and blessing to others, especially in the body of Christ? Do you constantly find yourself disturbed by unhappy interpersonal relations? Well, sometimes we have a problem in relationship as well. Because of the lack of unity in mind, the lack of compassionate love, the lack of tender love, the lack of tender-hearted and humble-mindedness. But you can live in peace if you seek unity with other Christians by compassionately entering into their experiences. In other words, be there when you see that love is most needed most. That's why we need this prayer request. We need these prayers so that we can remember each other. By expressing brotherly love to those who lack it when others are isolated. By cultivating tenderness in prayer. By not allowing yourself to become callous. In other words, when we are aware of our lack of love to others, help us not to pursue that kind of attitude, but to seek God's face and seek forgiveness and give us a soft heart. And for that matter, if you lack assurance, God will complete His plan of our assurance, of salvation. And then by remaining noble. When others wrong you, don't pay back evil for evil or insult to insult. But bless those who wrong you, who persecute you. Keeping your mouth from talking about other people. If it is some concern, yes, we can talk about that. That's good. But if we are talking about other people's business, that's not helpful, then we must keep our mouth shut. Let us flee temptations to evil. And then, pursuing peace, filled the love of Christ. That's the only time that we can be a blessing to others. In the end, let us examine our life right now to work let's examine ourselves to those, if we fail others, let's pray that God will forgive us. But we must change our attitude, our behavior. Remember, our reactions determine the results of this word of God to us. If we will react negatively, then we will remain isolated. Decide specifically today in prayer what God would have you do. Instead, seek peace and do it by the grace of God. Amen.